Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Paul says, here you are, Christians in the church, you have a conflict with one another, and you throw yourselves in the secular court thinking that these people who don't know God in Christ and certainly had no sense of right and wrong, the idea that they would be the best to decide the decision that involved a brother or sister or others in the house of God. So here, Paul is saying, I want to show you what is righteous and what is unrighteous.
The truth is, Christians are going to have conflict with each other. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his timely message, The Company You Keep, and shows you how we are bound to have conflict with other Christians, but God calls us to deal with conflict within the body, not in the courts. That message is next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Company You Keep.
Lust. Lust is an abnormal desire for something. It's a passionate desire from something that is usually wrong and evil. That is lust. We ran into lust in the fifth chapter, and Paul talked about in the church, there was a prominent man who was living in incest. Lust. And then you could skip over the section we're looking at today, and we go to the end of chapter 6, beginning with verse 12 through 20 of 1 Corinthians, and it deals with lust, prostitution. So you've got lust in the fifth chapter, incest. The latter part of the sixth chapter, you have prostitution. And then in the middle of this, you have litigation. You have lawsuits. Man, was Paul confused? Did he just flip out? How did, between incest and prostitution, lust and lust, we run into litigation? I can tell you why it fits. Most lawsuits have to do with lust, but it's lust for stuff or lust for things are lust for what we would perceive as fairness to you and to me. So it's still in the general category of lust. And Paul just sits down on the issue of the legal issue that you found in the courtroom. And the first thing he does, he just schools them. He takes them to task. Look at it, verse 1. He says, does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous Paul says, here you are, Christians in the church, you have a conflict with one another, and you throw yourselves in the secular court thinking that these people who don't know God in Christ and certainly had no sense of right and wrong, the idea that they would be the best to decide the decision that involved a brother or sister or others in the house of God. Did we do it? So we look now at our secular courts. Now, I'm out of my field, but I will tell you, had not I been in this profession, I started engineering, but I really believe I would end up as a lawyer, an attorney. I love the law. And let me say in the beginning, we have in the United States of America, as of 5:45 this morning, according to Google, we have 1,352,027 men and women in America who are attorneys. They pass the bar right now in the United States. Not all of them are practicing, but there's plenty of litigation out there because last year, there are over 1 million cases in state courts and over 400 cases in federal courts. You got to have a job. You got to stay busy. And I would say that a Christian attorney is a precious commodity in our culture. How we need more men and women who are born again, biblical Christians in that profession. We have far too few. Some professions are just slandered, many times my profession. Many times. Many times the legal profession, many times. Many times the political profession, when I know many God-fearing, humble men and women who are serving God in the area of politics, but somehow we just write them all off. I do not do that. I thank God for those who stand for His principles in this world. Because we understand there is man's law, but above that is natural law, and man's law should be based on natural law, but there is God's law, which is preeminent over all of that. And just because something is legal, it doesn't mean it is right, and it takes a Christian to see that perspective. But the point is, as Christians, if we have problems with those who are genuine Christians, now, it doesn't mean we never go to secular courts. Paul himself did. On 3 or 4 occasions, Paul appealed to the Roman courts. The results were mixed. He won some, he lost some, and he ended up getting his head chopped off, but that's neither here nor there. Paul appealed, so there are situations where you must go to a secular court. Understand that. Now, so we look at the secular court, and now look at the Christian court, what Paul says right here. He's taking them to school. He says, dare to go to law before the unrighteous, not before the saints. Verse 2, he says, or do you not know? And by the way, he says, do you not know in this chapter 3 times, implies it a 3rd time. Do you not know? Do you not know? What's the matter with you? Are you stupid? Do you not know? He is schooling the church. And by the way, he's using the Socratic method. You know the Socratic method? You ask questions. You say, well, I know that speaker is there. Well, how do you know that speaker is there? I know it's there because that's what a speaker is. What exactly is a speaker? Well, a speaker, well, how was, so it's a question upon question upon question. This has to do with a big old word that all of us should begin to know what it means, epistemology. Oh, that's a big, no, it's how you know that you know. And Socrates used the Socratic method and asked questions upon questions upon questions. The problem with that, he never landed. There are people like that. Is there a God? Here's the reason. Is that? And you go on and on and on and on. There's no end to questions about anything. This is what Paul is doing. He's asking questions and questions of those in the church saying, wake up. The secular court is not the answer. If it's among Christians, it's in the house of God. He said, don't you understand that? And then he goes on. He says, do you not know that we will judge the world? Whoa. Did you know that? Did you not know that? As Christians, in eternity, I don't understand it, but the Bible teaches that. The middle of the book of Jude, 2 Peter, 2 John, Jesus in Matthew 19 talks about we as Christians will one day, with Jesus himself blending in with the 12 tribes of Israel, we will be judges of the world. That's our future assignment. Well, I won't have anything to do in heaven. Well, that's a little opening foray right there. And then he said, do you not know you'll judge the angels? You mean we're going to, yes, the fallen angels. Those demonic angels that Satan resides over, we will also be a part of the judgment of them in eternity. And Paul is saying, you've got this future assignment. You're going to judge along with Jesus Christ in eternity, and you're going to judge even the evil angels who've fallen. He said, and you're not able to judge things now in the body of Christ. Man, I'm going to send you to school. Wake up. You're able to do it. You're qualified to do it. And then we see in verse 5, he shames the Corinthians. He's taken them to school, hasn't he? A lot of satire there. And he continues. He shames them. He says this in verse 5, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between the brethren, the Christians? But brother goes to law, secular law, with brother, and that before unbelievers. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Then he reminds the Christians, well, on the contrary, look at your background. You yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Before we get too pious, ladies and gentlemen. He said, can't you find somebody? Is there somebody who's got enough integrity that they could decide in the family of God? By the way, we do this periodically. We don't put it in the paper. I didn't know that, sure. Conflicts in the church with people and Christians, sometimes out of city, other churches, they come. This is how the church needs to operate. See, Paul couldn't understand how the church at Corinth didn't get that. But see, they'd gotten too wide, see, for their theology. He didn't understand it because how did the Jews deal with conflict? They always dealt with the synagogue. They would deal with other Jews. They didn't go out in the world with their problems. They dealt with it right there according to their problems. And Paul said, now we as Christians, we can't do that. So he schooled the Corinthians. Then he shamed the Corinthians. And then he did a beautiful thing. He divided them. He separated them. Look at verse number 9. Or do you not know, there it is again, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators be deceived, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers. Whoa. He listed 6 of these earlier. He adds 4 to it. There's 10. I had a friend that was teaching this, and he said, I want to ask everybody here who's ever been involved in any of that long list of serious sin, would you lift your hand? And he said, a lot of hands went up. He said, a man who had come, who was away from God, away from Christ, And he was nervous being at church anyway, but when so many lifted their hands that they'd been a part of this list, he said, I knew I was right at home. Now, I'm tempted to do that here, but lest somebody misunderstand, there was a man, he's graduated now, he's a member of this church, who told me, new Christian, brilliant, I don't like the Ten Commandments. I don't like the thou shalt nots. He says, I like the Beatitudes. I said, you're making a serious mistake as a new Christian. Ten Commandments are a lot easier than Beatitudes. The Beatitudes say, if you have wanted to kill somebody in your heart, you've killed them. If you thought about adultery in your mind, you've already committed adultery. I said, you better stay the Ten Commandments. Boy, there's another league in the Beatitudes. Now, if I asked all of us here worshiping the question, hey, can you identify with any of these? Every hand must go up in light of the Beatitudes and the biblical principles by which you and I are called to live. There's nobody that can keep your hand down. If you can, I want to see you after class. Because you do not understand. So here, Paul is saying, I want to show you what is righteous and what is unrighteous. I want to show you what is the kingdom of God and what is not the kingdom of God. If you look at this passage, he's putting all of these heinous sins in parentheses. And the parentheses, here's the kingdom of God, here's the kingdom of God. In the middle of all of this, he's saying, if you live this lifestyle, you're out of the kingdom. But we've all confessed, if we understand, we have broken this. And therefore, we're boxed in. But then there comes one of the most powerful, profound words. Here's all of these immoral acts in which we've all been caught up in, omission, commission, all of us are caught in them. And then Paul looks at Corinth as he looks to us today in the 21st century. Look at this little phrase, verse 11. Such were some of you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's the reason the church, we accept anybody and everybody, whatever background, it makes no difference to us. Come, we accept everybody, but we do not applaud or approve of these immoral lifestyles. The church accepts but does not applaud or approve, but point out that this lifestyle is not of the kingdom of God. But the beautiful thing is, he said, oh, we used to be like that. Such were some of you. We got on the wrong side of the cross, remember, even after we'd come to Christ. Such were some of you. But what happened? But look at the next. It's beautiful. It is magnificent. What happened? He says simply that you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified. We all identify. Every hand went up. If you didn't, you got a problem. You don't understand. Every hand went up. Omission, commission in our minds, in our heart, every hand went up. And boy, we're in trouble because that's not in the kingdom. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been washed. I baptized, I don't know how many people. And so many times I asked them, what did that mean to you? And they said, I've never felt this clean. I've heard that, I can't tell you how many times. Kids, adults, 90-year-old, I've never felt. Not that baptism saves us, but it is a symbol, picture of cleansing. Because you see, there's a problem of dirt and debt. The debt comes when you and I break the commandments. The debt comes when you and I rebel from God. The debt comes when we make wrong decisions. The debt comes when we do not do what we ought to do, and we're in debt to God. There is a debt there that we have squandered what God would have us to do and be and how we'd have. So we built up a debt, but that debt was paid by Jesus on the cross. He shed blood. We get that. Also, there's a problem of dirt. Dirt within, dirt without. And also the same thing happens when we're washed. Our debt is paid and the dirt is washed away. We're clean. That makes us move from these kind of lifestyles. Becomes yesterday, such were some of you, and now we're washed. Isn't that a great picture? We're washed. We're like Peter. Remember Jesus washing his feet and Peter said, "Oh, you can't wash my feet." He said, "If I don't wash your feet, I won't have you." And Peter said, "Just wash me all over. Just wash everything about me." Dirt and debt. Then he said, "You're sanctified." The word saint is the word Christian. It means we are set apart. We are sanctified. We are holy. I'd show a hand, 100 people here think we're holy. I don't know. My hand wouldn't go up till I thought about it. And in the sight of God in Christ, those in Christ, we are holy. All of us, we're sanctified. We've been washed. And then that wonderful pregnant word at the end. Washed, sanctified, justified. Whoa. You were justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice. A fleeting thing.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
1 Corinthians 4, 14 and 15. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. But in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Paul had earned the right to be the authority in the Corinthian church because he had brought them to faith in Christ and founded the church on this good news. We know the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven. He has within it the balance of grace and truth. Without that balance, the gospel becomes invalid. Grace alone leads to license, the attitude that we can do anything we want because we are under grace and God will forgive us. Truth alone is not the gospel either, because that leads to legalism. So the gospel must have the balance of grace and truth. We too must possess that same balance because, like Paul, we are commissioned to share the good news, the gospel, wherever we go.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In His 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thank you for being with us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young wraps up his message and shows you how your righteousness in Christ empowers you to handle conflict differently.